The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Today's entreat illumines how our Lord is light and gives light as shown in the gospel. The first line of Luke chapter 5 says, "The multitude pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God." The Latin verb used here, iruo, irui, is for pressed upon, which literally means to rush or force one's way into, to invade, to press into, to make an attack upon. Like the moth that dives vigorously into the light bulb, the multitude dove vigorously into Christ the light to hear the word of God. They came to the light to receive the light. In thy light we shall see light, Psalm 35. The multitude had eyes of faith to see at least their blindness, and that they needed to fervently pursue the word of God. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my paths, Psalm 118. The Roman Catechism exhorts us to have great respect for the word of God. It reminds us that we honor God's holy name first when we pay religious attention to the word of God, which announces to us his will. Second, when we make it the subject of our constant meditation. And third, when we strive by reading or hearing it, according to our respective capacities and conditions of life, to become acquainted with it. The Roman Catechism further teaches us how the Word of God is our spiritual bread, food of the soul, as wisdom says. Come, eat my bread and drink the wine which I have mingled for you. It goes on to say that sometimes God deprives us of hearing his word when provoked by our sins. And thus he sends us a spiritual famine, as is written in Amos. I will send forth a famine into the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst of water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. The word of God is both spiritual light and spiritual food. Like physical light and physical food that are indispensable for the needs of the body, spiritual light and spiritual food are indispensable for the needs of the soul. In the story of a soul, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux shows us pious pressing upon Christ in prayer, so to be enlightened and fed by the word of God. She wrote, "In my helplessness, the Holy Scriptures and the imitation of Christ are of the greatest assistance. In them, I find a hidden manna, genuine and pure. But it is from the Gospels that I find most help in the time of prayer. From them, I draw all that I need for my poor soul. I am always discovering in them new lights and hidden mysterious meanings." Our Lord, the teacher of teachers, instructs us without the noise of words. "I have never heard him speak, yet I know he is within me. He is there, always guiding and inspiring me. And just when I need them, lights, hitherto unseen, break in. This is not, as a rule, during my prayer, but in the midst of my daily duties. Sometimes, however, as this evening, At the close of a meditation spent in utter dryness, a word of comfort is given to me. Here is the Master I give thee. He will teach thee all that thou shouldst know. I wish thee to read in the book of life, in which is contained the science of love. Her words encourage us to allow Christ the light and the hidden manna to illuminate and feed our shadowy and hungry souls through his word. Indeed, a single interior grace through the word of God can change our whole life. St. Anthony of Egypt, one of the desert fathers, was going according to custom into the Lord's house. There he communed within himself and reflected as he walked how the apostles left all and followed the Savior, like in the gospel today, and how they in the Acts sold their possessions and brought and laid them at the apostles' feet for distribution to the needy. And what and how great a hope was laid up for them in heaven. Pondering over these things, Anthony entered the church, and it happened that the gospel was being read, and he heard the Lord saying to the rich man, "If you would be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and come follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven." Anthony, as though God had put him in mind of the saints, the passage had been read on his account, went out immediately from the church and gave the possessions of his forefathers to the villagers. The word of God in today's gospel changed the lives of Peter, James, and John. After preaching to the multitude that was hungry for spiritual food, our Lord invited Peter, who was hungry for physical food, to launch out into the deep and let down his nets for a catch. Peter had been fishing all night and caught nothing. But when the light of the world got into his boat, his mind, his heart, and even his stomach was filled. Peter, tired and hungry as he was, had just witnessed the multitude's spiritual hunger to receive the word of God. It was satisfying. Their Marian example of ready receptivity to the word of God is one that we see in religious today, who likewise are models of receptivity and live out Our Lady's words, "May it be done to me according to thy word." The example of the multitude prepared Peter to receive and respond to the word of God. He said, "Master, we have labored all night and have taken nothing. But at thy word, I will let down the net." And he does. Then Peter is humbled in the best possible way, in that way that makes us shed tears of joy, because God is too good, too generous. That's even possible. We often do not believe because God's plan is too good, too beautiful. The apostles were hard of heart and slow to believe because the resurrection was too good to be true. The visitation of Our Lady, Elizabeth cried out in a loud voice, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" In other words, how does it come about that such a great good happens to me? At the gift of the incarnation of our Lord in Our Lady's womb, she rejoices and exclaims, "My soul magnifies the Lord." It is in this way that the word of God works within us, humbly and gently. Theophylact encourages us to marvel at how wisely the Lord arranges our salvation, drawing to himself each person by means of the things that are his own and with which he is familiar. As the Lord attracted the Magi with a star, so now he drew the fishermen by means of fish. Behold the gentleness of Christ, how he does not command, but requests that Peter put out from the land. Not only does the living and effective Word of God change the lives of the saints like Therese, Anthony, Peter, James, and John, but it also has the power to change our lives as well. We can obtain graces of light and strength if, like the multitude of saints, we rush or force our way into or invade, press into, make an attack upon Christ in prayer to hear the word of God. And how to do this? Principally through receiving and pondering in our hearts the texts presented to us in the sacred liturgy. St. Catherine of Siena spoke of a spiritual dinner banquet. Now God the Father is the chef, God the Son is the food, and God the Holy Ghost is the waiter. The Father plans the meal, arranging it according to providence. The Son is our very food, the bread of life, and the Holy Ghost prepares our palate to appreciate the divine food of our soul according to the plan of the Father. In our missals, the unique menu of the divinely inspired Word of God is daily prepared for us, arranged for our delight. Are we hungry? Do we press in? If we cannot attend daily Mass, we can press into our missals to read the Word of God and make a spiritual communion. Over time, we will increasingly delight in how Holy Mother Church, as a good mother, hosts these spiritual meals to satisfy our spiritual hunger, enlightening and strengthening her children as we daily dine sumptuously on the Word of God. So rather than fishing in the dark of night for food that perishes, let us press into the light of the world to receive the spiritual food that endures forever. Then we will say with the psalmist, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.